They say a plan beats no plan. So we're going to talk about the election season, which is going to be starting in January of 2020. And we're going to talk about plans and no plans in podcast 828, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Now, before I start, I want to talk about podcasts real quick, because I think this is very important. These days, there's a lot of confusion about where you get a podcast, and there are a number of apps that find podcasts for you. There are a number of places to find podcasts, and some of them are better than others. Some of them work better than others. There's a thicket of this kind of stuff out there, and now we have these personal devices on people's kitchen counters that they just ask questions of. There's a Google device. There is Alexa, obviously. Some people use Siri on their phone. And these devices are actually showing up in my analytics a lot. So people are starting to use them. Yes, the Bob Davis podcasts are available through TuneIn on Alexa. You just ask for Alexa to find the BobDavisPodcasts.com. And Siri works that way as well. And of course, the Bob Davis podcasts are available at the page at BobDavisPodcast.com. There is live streaming of the last three podcasts, as well as Stitcher.com, iTunes, The Granddaddy, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, and Spreaker. And one of my favorites, and I think it's a great approach if you have an Android device, is Spotify. And I'll keep updating this stuff as we go. I don't want to go on too long. Also appreciate the likes and the shares, especially the shares on social media. And I appreciate your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So one of the things that we don't think about, one of the things that we don't necessarily have a plan for, is what happens if we're injured. Now, you don't necessarily have to have a plan for this. I'm going to give you a number, and you should put this number aside somewhere. Enter it in your phone. John D. Scott of Hoffman Hamer & Associates. Here's his number, 952-683-1351, 952-683-1351, because we don't usually have a plan for what happens if we're injured at work or play. And this is when you need a great personal injury lawyer, because you have to have representation. Why? Well, you know, there's an awful lot of regulation when it comes to insurance. There's a lot of legalities when it comes to insurance and getting your benefits, whether it's from your work or whether it is from somebody that hit you or if you fell off the ladder or something to that effect. That's why you need John D. Scott of Hoffman Hamer & Associates, 952-683-1351. That's 952-683-1351. Yes, I would enter that in my phone. Also, they're available at jdsinjury.com. If you click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, you'll see a picture of John Scott, who is a great, great guy, a great personal injury lawyer. That will also take you to their contact page, and you can tell them what happened to you and figure out how they can help. John D. Scott, personal injury lawyer. Just noticed beginning to see Republicans starting to feel as though they have to respond to Democrats campaigning for the presidency in 2020. Now, I think this is a mistake to begin with, because what you have are the first blush of Democrats running around the country, getting a lot of media attention, doing their thing, whatever that is, whether it's Beto O'Rourke touring Iowa or Joe Biden announcing his presidential campaign to a bunch of union guys in Pennsylvania. And this stuff is the stuff of political coverage, because you've got somebody standing at the dais or the podium, you know, in their shirt sleeves, or you've got some guy standing on, a counter at some diner in Iowa or whatever. And the thing that happens next is you have these candidates running around throwing out ideas and plans. So when you have a lot of candidates running against an incumbent of one political party versus another political party, you're going to have a large number of candidates throwing out anything they can to see what gets traction, whether it is a new congressperson, woman, man, whatever you want to say, or whether it is somebody running for president, campaigning in New Mexico or something. And this is normal in politics, but it really gets the media going because they get to try out all their new stuff and they get to write stories about it and they put people on it and it gives them some opportunity to run content. There's a lot of things that I am really irritated by currently. One of them is we are saturated with political content and we are saturated with partisan political content, whether it's on social media or through the cable television or anything. And you guys know that. I don't need to belabor that point, but that's one of the issues is somebody goes out and says something and both advocates on both sides using whatever kind of media they have, you know, want to jump right out and quote unquote either attack what they're saying or defend what they're saying. And so lately, and I don't even need to give you the names or the specifics because it's going to change between now and January of 2020. So what you have are Republican candidates or Republican incumbents, whether they're congressmen or, you know, state politicians or state representatives or whatever, responding by calling the Democrats socialists. We don't need socialism in this country. And what I am seeing is the idea that this is going to be the cornerstone for the Republicans in 2020. I'm not so focused on the president right now with this because you never know what he's going to come up with, but I think it is a cornerstone for Republicans running around in statewide elections and running for Congress and the Senate, that they're going to be running against socialism. And I think this could be a mistake. There are a lot of problems with this approach. And so I want to talk about that in this podcast because I think part of it is using this approach against Democrats for Republicans. And this is not a partisan podcast. I'm not going to defend Republicans. I'm not going to attack Democrats. This is more of a societal comment and something to look at and something to think about. So it doesn't matter if you are a Democrat or Republican listening to this. I'm not avoiding controversy. I'm certainly not a socialist, so to speak. But I think this is something for all of us to think about because as a cornerstone for Republicans opposing Democrats, there's a lot of problems with attacking socialism. And the first one, probably the biggest one, is that this country, the United States, is already employing a number of collective methods to control the means of production, which essentially is what socialism is. We have Social Security and Medicare programs. We have Obamacare that has not been repealed. We have all kinds of benefits from various government agencies like the VA. Again, this is not a judgment on whether or not you as a veteran deserve your benefits or not, or besmirching somebody's service, but there is a lot of government benefits associated with the VA and associated with all kinds of government service, education funding, education retirement plans, federal transportation funds, subsidies from all the federal departments, collective bargaining at the state and local level, and collective bargaining at the federal level with federal employees, although much more limited. More importantly, the U.S. is a controlled market economy. Republicans think it is capitalism. And I guess you could say it's the capitalism that we know, but it is not unbridled capitalism. It's sort of a hybrid between a literal socialism, where the government controls the means of production and can sometimes nationalize means of production, and unregulated capitalism, which is virtually no control of and no regulation of the conduct of business. Again, socialism is government control of the means of production at its most base definition. Now, if you go online and look up socialism, you're going to get all kinds of political definitions. But socialism is government control of the means of production, not ownership. Ownership of the means of production is communism, or collective ownership of the means of production is essentially communism. The Federal Reserve controls the economy. Banking regulations and the threat of business regulation controls the economy. Licensing locally and nationally controls local economies. Federal approval of large transactions and trades, state and federal control of markets. And that is just a short list, and it is by, you know, not complete by any means. If you think it through, Well, then you can add your own elements from the list, from environmental regulations to development restrictions, education requirements, student loans, even small business loans, crop and flood insurance, and so on. And it doesn't matter what end of the political spectrum you're on. There are always going to be government issues that you're going to be confused about or concerned about. One of the things that's going on in my town is that we are building a light rail. And I've mentioned this a couple times. I have a lot of Democrat friends who live near where one of the lines is going to be put through, and there's a lot of subsidized development going on in that particular region of town. And they're tearing out trees. They're tearing out really heritage trees, giant trees, to build these several-story and sometimes tens-of-story buildings. And they're all up in arms about it because they don't want to see the Lakes region destroyed in terms of its physical, natural beauty. But the thing is, they don't get a vote because they rent. They don't get a vote because this stuff has already been decided by unelected bodies and zoning regulations and planning commissions and so forth, as well as government funding from the Federal Transit, Transportation Department to local states, local municipalities to build these projects because there's a plan somewhere that this is a good thing. Now, I'm not a fan of light rail because I think it's silly, but that's another thing entirely. The point here is you have people on the left end, so-called, of the political spectrum who are really angry that here is an example of government control of the means of production affecting them. Now, you could argue differently. You could argue that it's really not that it's planning is good, and you could go on and on with all of that. But I see it as government intervention and control. I see it as the sort of cold, dead hands of the government getting involved in everything that goes on. Republicans benefit from a lot of this. In fact, in some cases, Republicans have unknowingly backed these ideas. Most people who are Republican like to tout the fact that they're small business people, and yet some of their businesses benefit pretty significantly from state funding of projects or federal funding or federal regulation or things of that nature. So those are some collectivized ideas that Republicans have supported over the years. Certainly, it was a Republican president who initiated anti-monopoly legislation in the United States. That was Teddy Roosevelt. As a reformer, a progressive reformer, that was a Republican who Republicans love to tout TR. Richard Nixon was a big fan of TR. Richard Nixon also introduced price and wage controls. And so you see what I'm saying. We mix and match capitalist ideas as well as collectivist ideas in this country, and sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it, even if there's an R or a D in front of our name. Trade protection is not an idea associated with capitalism. Most capitalists are free market advocates for good reason. President Donald Trump is right now championing an infrastructure plan which involves government building airports, bridges, and so forth, among other things. He's even advocated most recently for government control of the latest technological development, which is 5G, which will revolutionize. And some people believe it will actually be the catalyst that will usher in the fourth, industrial revolution, because it will allow the bandwidth for driverless cars. It will reduce because it will make computers operate faster. It'll make phones operate faster and so forth. And the president wants to control it because what he wants to do, this is a socialist idea. He wants to build the 5G network and rent it out or lease out space to the companies who are actually creating it. So they want to appropriate the technology and then use it to control it because of its potential for all sorts of other kinds of problems, hacking and so forth. They want to be able to lease it out then to the providers. That's really not a capitalist approach to the issue of 5G. It will slow down the benefits of 5G, and this is just one example. So populist and nationalist populist ideas, whether it is trade protection or infrastructure development or anything like that, is essentially flirting with socialism. And I would go so far as to say that it actually adds to several layers of socialist-inspired legislation in the United States, and Donald Trump is a Republican. So Republicans are really dangerously vulnerable to this charge that Democrats are socialists. And we'll talk about a plan and what that means, and politics in plans, and politics and plans in the second half of this podcast. Now, you guys have heard me talk about payment processing, and I work with ReliaFund, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D, at ReliaFund.com. Why do I like ReliaFund? Well, first of all, they integrate with QuickBooks. Second of all, ReliaFund is a payment processor that has been doing this, finding integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. What does that mean? It means they can work with your systems. A lot of payment processors, you have to plug in their system. ReliaFund doesn't work that way. They can plug into your systems. They can also help you develop your back office systems if you are building a site to take, you know, to sell things online. They can work with you on that front. Again, they've been doing this for 20 years, so they were really there at the beginning of the payment processing revolution. Again, they have no long-term contracts. They're secure, they're technology-focused, and their number is 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040. If you call them, you're going to talk to one of the principals. You're going to talk to Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry, and they are great at what they do. Check them out online at ReliaFund.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. That takes you to their contact page. You can tell them what your issues are, and they will get back to you. ReliaFund.com, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D.com. Republicans have been attacking Democrats as socialists for a long time. Most recently, during the Obama administration, it was a common thing to do. And I think part of it is that the Republican Party itself is bankrupt in that it is driven, so far it's been driven and controlled entirely by the president. Local leaders, especially local politicians, really are not trained to fully understand economics or business. And oftentimes they're actually running as businessmen advocating for some of these policies. So, for example, if you're a Republican and you're running for Congress, well, you have to back the president. And the reason for that is a President Trump's reelect campaign has actually taken over the RNC. So no money is going to be coming forth for people that don't push for and support the president. And the RNC and the local state parties are going to be really stratified to helping the president get reelected. And they're going to be focused on those real key elections because he's going to want to be able to, if he wins the presidency, have control of the Senate, and he's going to want to at least try to win back the House, but he wants those guys to support him. And any president would. This is nothing unusual. But the GOP right now is being driven and controlled entirely by a president who is trade protectionist. Again, remember what I said about trade protection, and also a nationalist populist in the sense that for him, an infrastructure plan isn't an issue at all, even though that is really something that is associated with socialism, and infrastructure plans go back to Roosevelt. I mean, some could argue that infrastructure plans go back to the National Canal. And so what I would say to myself is, well, you know, what's the difference between a national construction project to improve commerce or communication and building airports all over the country? And I would say that from the federal perspective, it has to do with federal control of states, and it has to do with top-down control of business. I don't think that the National Canal, going back to the Washington administration, was an effort to control business so much as it was an effort to improve communication between the brand-new states of the United States. So that's another podcast to talk about. And I understand that people could argue that, but we're not having that discussion. What we're having is these local politicians jumping up and saying, pointing at the Democrats and saying they're socialist. Well, the thing is, a Democrat who's trained can turn around and say, "Well, what's do you your business?" So let's suppose that you're a construction guy and you're now running for Congress and you're talking about socialism, and you say, "Well, let's look into this guy's construction projects." And sure enough, he built a school over here and he built a train terminal over here. And you just say, "Well, you got government funding to build that train terminal, didn't you?" "Well, yeah, I won the bid." "Well, you know, without socialism, you wouldn't have gotten that. So are you advocating socialism or not advocating socialism? So I don't think local leaders, especially Republicans, really understand economics or business. They think they do because they think they, by birthright, understand economics or business. And yet you'll hear a lot of Republicans demand that we do something about China and that their jobs were sent. My job got sent over to China, or I used to work for the railroad and this is a terrible thing. Well, the railroads were nationalized when this guy worked for the railroad. So it's a very interesting thing that goes on with Republicans. And I know a lot of Republicans because I work and have lived in those circles and I understand how they think. So it's very interesting to me that they think they're advocating for capitalism, but really they're advocating for government control of the means of production. And, you know, is that socialism? In the United States, it's not going to look like socialism in Venezuela yet, but it is a form of control of business and of the means of production and commerce and consumer when the government has so many policy regulations and continues to add to those regulations without any kind of vote on them, so through executive orders and so forth. And I haven't even – by the way, when it comes to socialism, I haven't even gotten to this president's and the previous president's abuse of executive orders. So the bottom line here is – and I, the second half of this podcast, I really wanted to talk about plans. I don't think Republicans really have a plan. I don't think the president of the United States really has a plan. I think he thinks it up as he goes along, which works for him. And I think that the general trend of Trump's politics is national populism. That is not to say he's a national socialist. It is to say that he's primarily a populist, meaning that he wants you to think that he's for regular old people, that he is for the little guy and doing things for the little guy. One of the statements he made this week about unions really reflects that. So you have Joe Biden out there talking about running, and he's a union guy, and Trump attacks the unions on one hand as bloodsuckers and then turns around and says, that's why so many of the rank and file union guys support us. Well, if he was really anti-union, he would simply reverse the executive order that President Kennedy signed, allowing for collective bargaining in the federal government, and he would get rid of the unions in federal government. He's one of the few executives who doesn't require a vote to actually get rid of the unions in the federal government. He doesn't need an Act 10 passed by U.S. Congress. All he has to do is reverse the order that Kennedy passed, that Kennedy didn't pass but issued, which basically extended the Wagner Act to the federal government. Anyway, that's one of the things that I think is interesting, where you have a president who's very collectively oriented and you have people out there supporting him. That's nationalist populism, and that's my term for what the Republican Party has become. But it doesn't mean that there's a plan, and you can't have a plan if you're supporting a president that you never know what he's going to do next, because there isn't an approach. And by the way, I don't think the Republican Party moderates circa 2009 had a plan either. Their plan was contained. So these Republican moderates, you know, they tend to support these things like the Federal Reserve. They tend to support banking regulations. They tend to support state regulations. So they tend to support business regulation. They are what they're usually campaigning on is, we need to cut back the thicket of government regulation. We need to get our guys into the Federal Reserve because there's a way to do this and so forth. You don't hear them advocating for the complete removal and defunding of those approaches. So, and that's, again, without going on too long, you know, that was one of the things about the Obamacare repeal attempt that really upset certain politicians, aside from the fact that John McCain didn't like Trump. It was junk legislation because they didn't repeal it. They were going to replace it. Remember, they campaigned on repealing Obamacare, the national, whatever it is, the Affordable Care Act. And when they actually – when the rubber met the road, they came up with this idea that they were going to repeal and replace, and the replacement was a terrible plan. So the other thing is, just for your information, I have it on good authority that the Republican plan for single-payer health, which is being touted by Bernie Sanders among other Democrats, is that the Republican plan for single-payer health is they would assign – a national healthcare plan to four or five big insurance companies, and the four or five big insurance companies would administer the program. That's the Republican version of capitalism, and that is exactly the same thing. That is socialism. That is essentially nationalizing health insurance. But what you do is you just have you basically regulate four or five companies to deliver a federal product. Well, that's, to me, that is socialism. Anyway, I don't want to go on too long about that. I just think it's very interesting how misdirected and confused Republicans are. And this is why they don't have a plan. And this is where we get into politics in the last few minutes of this podcast, because here's the thing. A plan, no matter how misdirected it may be, beats no plan at all. I would rather stand up and say, you know, my opponent doesn't like my 14-point plan, but let's talk about the plan. So let's talk about what the 14-point plan will accomplish. Now, the plan could be, we're going to move everybody in the country to Omaha, build a wall around the city, and we're going to live there, and it's going to be fantastic. We're going to have 350 million people in a 40-square-mile area and 600-story buildings, and we're going to have, you know, free tennis and yoga, and it's going to be fantastic, and I have a 14-point plan to accomplish that. You could say I'm insane, but at least I have a plan. The Republicans don't have a plan. I haven't seen a plan from the Republicans, and this is not a judgment really about the presidential election, because I think, first of all, we're too far out, but secondly, I think the presidential race is going to be driven largely by personality. This is a judgment that applies really to local, statewide, and House races, where we saw in the congressional cycle just recently, the House and Senate cycles, the off year, whatever you want to call it, we saw the Democrats winning because they were presenting plans regarding health care and the VA and so forth over Republicans that were screaming about socialism or supporting the president without really a plan. So I would just ask the question, what is the Republican plan for the future? How do Republicans feel about the government owning 5G? How do Republicans feel about straight up repealing Obamacare or reducing defense spending, which, by the way, everyone's touting the brand new economic numbers? A good portion of the economic numbers in the first quarter of 2019 are from defense spending and the PCE deflator or inflator that the federal government uses. Building the wall, this is another thing that the government is going to do to solve a problem. Infrastructure development's another issue. Where do the Republicans stand on infrastructure development? And by the way, these are all things that Democrats have positions on and 14-point positions on. What about a Trump care proposal? As I said, we talked about that a little bit. So then there are these issues about adjusting the approach of the EPA, the Department of Education, energy, and all of that. And if you're a Democrat these days, things are great because you have 20 or more politicians crisscrossing the country talking about plans. Plans to save the planet, plans to help people, plans to improve people's lives and pay for your education and get millennials out of debt and so forth and so on. What is the response to that from Republicans? Socialism is bad. Well, if I'm a millennial and I have $100,000 in student loans and I'm struggling to pay them off, buy a new car and buy a house, and the smallest house I can find is $285,000, you know, 50, 60, 70 miles from the metro, I'm going to have to drive an hour every day to get to work. Well, you can understand then why the idea of forgiving a student loan, the idea of free health insurance, things of that nature, become really, really important. And they don't see socialist when they hear it. They hear somebody offering to solve the problem. And I'm not here to offer a plan. I won't do that because I think, first of all, that's advocacy. That's saying, oh, the Republicans are right about this and the Democrats are wrong about that and so forth. That's not my job. Your job is to come up with a plan. So if you are just a citizen, if you are involved in politics, if you're an elected official, then where's your plan if you're a Republican? If you have an R in front of your name, where's your plan? Because if you don't have a plan, then you don't have anything except rhetoric. And this has been an issue with Republicans, especially in my state, Minnesota, for a long time. They offer up Jesus, they're against abortion, and beyond that, they don't really have anything else to say because they don't necessarily know the difference between capitalism and socialism and communism. Now, I think a capitalist, a true capitalist plan would be revolutionary in this country. And I think if you really actually had a true capitalist plan, people would actually say, wow, this country really isn't capitalist. And I thought all along that we were. I think a capitalist plan, because capitalism is all about opportunity, might be well accepted by Americans. It would be radical. It would be libertarian. But it would at least be a plan. It's something to think about. Because Republicans, you're going to have to come up with a plan if you want to win. And then you're going to have to be able to defend it in 2020. Well, it's getting warmer. And one of the best events of the entire year is the EAA air show. And Alpha Systems will be there. I think they're going to be in Building C, which is where they always are. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's where they're going to be. If you're a pilot and you're heading over there, guess what? You want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. And that's why you should visit Alpha Systems at the EAA air show, because they can show you how it works. It gives you a visual indicator so you know how much lift your wing is producing. And the problem in civil aviation is pilots make that final turn to land, and a lot of times they don't have enough lift and they dump and there's no time for recovery, and that kills pilots. If you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems is for you. They make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Thanks for listening to Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 828, a plan beats no plan. And if somebody else has a plan, if your opponent has a plan and you don't, well, that's going to cause a lot of problems. So maybe some people in some portion of the political spectrum ought to start thinking about getting a plan. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 828, May is coming and I am ready.